Welcome to episode 282 of Coffee Pods and Wads. RAD are launching the Pro Track in the UK. If you're a coach or a gym owner, or if you work in emergency services, you can head to rad-global.com for details on how you can get exclusive drops with them. Whoop Stress Monitor is in full effect on the app. Last week, I let my fuel in the car run down to zero distance remaining because apparently I like to live on the wild side. You can actually see the spike at the same time in the app. Later on when I checked, it was like 8:20 spike, and then I got to work and it went away, and then there was another spike after work when I was trying to get to the petrol station. Join.whoop.com/CPW. It's a pretty cool new feature, and you get discounted membership on there as well. GoWad is the go-to app for mobility, activation, and recovery for over 1 million people worldwide. You can go to the App Store or GoWad.app to find out what all the fuss is about and start your free trial. They've also got these new mini sessions as well, little three-minute sessions, which are pretty cool. Fitter have changed the game in coaching platforms, white label for your branding, your own storefront, and they've got a new website to show you it all and how it all works. Get.fitter.training is where you can go to see that. For the home of CrossFit, fitness, and HYROX coaching. The news with LSKD. LSKD.co is where you can go to win a Tesla. There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. If you use our carbon neutral option on checkout, you're automatically entered into the draw. Battle for Middle Ground, March Mayhem was on at the weekend. It wrapped up with Ella Wilkinson and Jennifer Muir taking top spot on the female elite pairs, with Philroy Peters and Dennis Smith taking the male win. Team Sparkle took the team of four male win, with the Defiant Co winning it for the female fours. An incredible 2 days of competition, one of the best I've been to. Ragnarok is up next for the Graf crew, and they've got Trinity Wars in the summer and Winter Soldiers beyond that at Battle for Middle Ground for more details on that. Amanda Cummins, Steve Fawcett, Lucy McGonigal, Eamon Coyne, Callum Whelan, friends of the show who are all headed for the age group semi-finals. Rich Froning is on there as well. I want to be his friend, so I'll add him in just separately. The field of 30 will be cut down to 10 for Madison in the semi-finals, which are up next. Today's episode is with Kelly Clark, if you're looking for her on the leaderboard. Kelly missed out on the games by one single point last year, and she's going back to semifinals on the West Coast in her final season. We chat about water polo, fitness, and mindset. Enjoy, listen, share, and tag. Hey, right. We did it. So there was me and there was 15 or something other people yesterday. waiting, and I was like, oh, I obviously messed up the time. And I was like going back checking messages, and I was like, no, she said 11:30. I just don't understand. I was like, maybe she forgot, and I was like, oh, she didn't engage much when I tagged her in the stuff, so maybe she can't do it, but didn't know she fully couldn't do it. Now it makes sense, because you obviously didn't engage, being like, this is like tomorrow, this guy's a jackass. So we talked about the quarterfinal, the team's workouts for the quarterfinals instead. Oh, no. And then I was like, all right, she's obviously just not coming. And I don't know how, but reading back the messages of the time, I missed the fact that the date was also changed from the 29th to the 30th. Just totally glossed over that. And it was only afterwards that I was like, oh, I see what I've done here. but it was a nice little 20 minutes practice of, well, I didn't really do much. I kind of drowned and fumbled around for a while. But it's great. It's great to talk to you. You did teams for years, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
So when you see, obviously you're probably, maybe a bit tired after quarterfinals yourself last week, but when you see the teams doing quarterfinals, is there any part of you that's like, oh shit, I kind of wish I was doing team?
Oh, I love the team. Yeah. Team stuff is always so much fun. I love, there's a different element to the team stuff where you just have to, coordinate with other people and cooperate, and all the communication and the strategy is so much more in depth. You see a workout for an individual and you're like, okay, I know what I got to do here. And you see a workout for a team and you're like, okay, we got to think about this,
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that is, it's like you're, yeah, you have to think right, I know what I do, but I also know that that person doesn't like doing such and such a thing or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Who do you put where, when, how do you maximize everybody's strengths and,
It's, yeah. Are you going to do the age group qualifiers just for fun? No.
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 Just no backup plan.
I was thinking, because So Steve Fawcett in the UK, he's qualified. Well, he's in like 61st, but there's two or three guys ahead of him that are going team. So he's going to semifinals, and he's going to Masters. And part of me was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if he just like managed to join a team, qualify, and he qualified all the different possible ways to qualify this year. Yeah, no, it's cool. What did you think of the team workouts? Were you did any of them surprise you or anything?
No, I wasn't super surprised. I think they're cool. I think it's cool to see, you know, we're starting, it's just been like the third year of quarterfinals, but it's cool to see team workouts in, you know, the early stages of competition in online format.
Yeah. Having done like team competition, like in-person competition stuff, I know it's cool to see team workouts, but is it difficult, do you think, in like from a judging capacity to do, like I saw today, oh, I can't remember which workout it was. I think it was workout one. They needed to have two judges.
Yeah.
But this sheet of paper, you're only allowed to name one judge. And like, you know, stuff like that. Like, do you think, like, is it tricky? Is it logistically difficult to do an actual team work, like with synchro and all that kind of stuff in an affiliate compared to like in a live arena? Like, does it put more pressure on the teams, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it always takes so much more to coordinate a team workout. So I imagine, I haven't been on a team since they've had the online quarterfinals formats, but I would imagine that like making sure that you're, I mean, when I was on a team, like the last few years we were on a team, it was very elite teams. So when you're a good team, you are so tight and crisp that like the judging is almost less important, you know, like you're judging yourself, you hold yourself accountable for the most part. When you're an elite athlete, you should be. But
that the use of the word should there is absolutely vital.
I mean, there's definitely like an element of like riding the line pretty tightly. So like, I'm sure, you know, people make mistakes, but like, but you should be holding yourself to a very high standard. And you should be experienced enough to be able to do that. But with less experienced teams, it does require a lot more feedback from judges, and you have to, like, there's like that one workout, you know, you have to have two judges. There's too much going on at the same time, for one person to manage and keep track of.
Yeah. It's almost like trying to judge one person doing V-ups. You need four judges, one watching the feet, one watching the hands, one watching the head. Yeah. So yeah, it's funny. I actually, Scott, I assume it's Scott from Clydesdale, said that you belong in individual. I actually listened to you. I listened to two shows that you did there. You did one with Kat and you did one with Scott. And I can't remember which one you said it on, but you said there was a time where you thought like, I'm a team athlete. And that's what that's my jam. That's my thing. What changed that? Why the shift in, oh, I'm just going to do it solo?
To be honest, I think I was kind of forced into it when they changed the team rules. Yeah. We had a team ready to go for the 2020 season, and that was the year we got shut down with COVID things.
Well, you were at Atlas, weren't you?
Yeah, we were at the Atlas Games, all checked in.
Fun weekend. Yep. It's like, do we still get to keep the stuff? Or?
Totally. Yeah. I know. Yeah, that was crazy. But so we didn't get to compete. And then when they changed the rules the next year, you weren't allowed to have a super team. And we just couldn't field a team with people locally. So it was go indie or don't compete. And I was like, well, I'm a competitor, so I'm going to compete. That's just, you know.
Was there any part of you then this year when they changed the rules again that was like, oh, or was it like, were you so fueled by last year that you were like, oh, I don't care, I'm still going individual?
No, actually, to be honest, there were a few people that reached out to go team. And I thought about it. I considered it.
Who
a few people
a few nondescript people
but yeah I had a couple of people and And one I actually very seriously considered. We, you know, sat down on a call and
maybe what can I ask? You don't have to be, you obviously don't have to get into specifics, but can I ask, like, what was it about that team that made you so seriously consider it? Was it just the contender aspect?
So I guess, well, it was a misfit team.
Okay.
I guess what I would say. So, and for me, I sort of promised myself after I had a couple successful individual seasons, that I would only go team again if it was really the right team. I've had some really, really excellent teams that I've been on in the past. And so I just think I have a really high bar for what, you know, I expect of a team. I think it would just be disappointing and frustrating for me to be on a team where everyone was not fully committed and invested and, you know, into like building an actual team, not just like putting together a group of qualified individuals. Yeah. Because otherwise it's not fun. Even on a super team, if everyone's so far away and you're only traveling to like see each other when you have to be together to compete, like I might as well be an individual, you know, like coming together for competition. Like that's not the most fun part about being on a team. And so it's, and for me, you know, like it needed to be a team where we weren't just expecting to qualify for the games. We were expecting to like
challenge
well at the games. And there was an opportunity that I thought was going to be good. And the reason I considered it was because it was a misfit team. I've been competing under the Misfit brand for a long time. They've run my programming and my coaching and everything. And I really trust that they don't do anything in half measures. If they're going to do something, it's going to be fully committed. They're going to put resources behind it. They're going to put coaches behind it. They're going to make sure that it's not just a collection of individuals but they're going to do the team building and the, you know, coordination to like make it a real team and make it really competitive. And that was, so I just had a lot of trust that that would happen. I didn't have to like vet, you know, and make sure that, oh, are you really serious about this? Do you really know what it takes to field an excellent team, you know, or do you think this is just kind of like you got four good individuals and it's going to be a walk in the park?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You recently put up a poll saying that you, something to do with Misfits and Sharpen the Axe. Was that just that you had joined, if they've been doing your programming for a long time, what was behind that post then? Cause that's confusing me.
Oh yeah. So I've been following Misfit Athletics as an athlete for a long time, but I was, you know, paying for programming and my coaches and everything. And I was just, you know, an athlete that, you know, really valued their program. But they just brought me on board as a sponsored athlete. So now I'm representing the Misfit Athletics brand, as well as their Sharpen the Axe apparel brand and their Proper Fuel supplement company.
That's cool. I once swapped a bag of coffee for a t-shirt. He's big into doing that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
When that, I'm kind of working backwards. I had questions in my head. Oh fuck it, it doesn't matter. When that happens and that conversation happens about like, hey, you're following our programming and you're doing really well and we like coaching you and stuff and we want to make you a sponsored athlete, is that like, oh fuck, I've made it? Or is there any part of you that's like, oh, I'm kind of doing good the way I'm doing, should I change things? Is there any reservations about that?
No, I was super stoked. Like I said, I've been a really big fan for years, since like 2018. And so it was just an opportunity for me to be more invested and for us to like really work together. And I think the people there are awesome. So it was really just a natural fit.
Did you notice any like psychological change, as in, did you like find yourself being more applied to the training when you're paid to do it as opposed to paying to do it? Did you find yourself like, oh shit, I gotta work like twice as hard?
No, Hunter holds me accountable plenty without any other pressure, and I think I put so much pressure on myself anyway that I don't know if that bar can go higher without damaging.
Detrimental effects. Did you live in Santa Cruz? Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you grow up there?
I grew up like 30 minutes away from here in the Bay Area. Like Silicon Valley.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. I have this picture in my head of what it's like what California's like, and I feel like I'm way off, but I still can't change the picture in my head. I think the picture in my head of what California is like is every opening credits to every TV show that's set in California, just like mixed together in a weird, like vomit of like sunshine and sunsets and everything. So you grew up half an hour away. Were you sporty growing up? Were you involved in different sports?
All the sports.
Okay.
Yeah. I mostly, soccer was my main sport when I was younger. Okay. Although I tried everything from, you know, gymnastics, volleyball, basketball, track. I played everything I could possibly play. But
What age did you play soccer up until?
Up until freshman year of high school, and then I'd sprained my ankles too many times. And we got to the point where it just, like, I was overdosing on Advil and ibuprofen to try and keep myself going. So
it's like, you can keep going, but you're going to be a drug addict,
right?
where did you play? What position did you play?
Outside mid.
Okay, so like a winger then.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Are you left-footed or right-footed?
Right-footed.
Okay, so you're like the high school freshman female equivalent of like David Beckham then.
Yeah.
Basically. Just put it in terms everyone can understand. That's basically what you were. Okay. Do you follow football? Do you follow soccer?
Not as much anymore. My family is, my whole family is a soccer family. So my brothers, especially my youngest brother, is living in London right now, and he's living out his football fan dreams.
Who does he support?
Oh gosh.
You're Arsenal? About to be disowned. Oh yeah, that's okay.
Arsenal. Okay, yeah, Arsenal. I am going to be.
Even if it's the wrong answer, I'll accept wrong. there's teams? I'm trying to think. So LA Galaxy, obviously that's California, isn't it? Who else?
San Jose Earthquakes.
Yes.
That's okay. Where my brother, actually, my oldest brother, played for them for a year.
Oh, wow. Like senior, like full? Like...
No, he was on the reserve team for a year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So he kept your dream alive. That's cool.
He did.
And so was that, like, was your sportiness, it obviously runs in the family then, if he's playing football and stuff as well. So was your sportiness, like, parents kind of going, like, you guys need to be active, or, like, were you guys naturally inclined to be that way?
We were pretty naturally inclined. I mean, my parents were active, so that was just kind of, like, the thing that we did as a family. Mm. You know, hiking, biking, you know, swimming, all that stuff. So it just, we were always, and we had so much energy, it was kind of like we were not manageable unless you wore us out. So I think that was just out of necessity, we needed to be active. We were getting into trouble.
Let's wear the fuckers out before
bed. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, believe me, I know that feeling. And then you, what stage? So freshman high school, you're what, like 15?
15?
14? 15? 15. Yeah, I was talking to someone about this the other day. We don't have those words.
No, like, yeah, that's
someone,
right.
It was a Choco put out an article of like Alex Gazan is a sophomore. And I was like, I had to ask, like, what does that mean? Like, I hear it. I hear it in like TV shows and stuff. But if it's not integral to the script, don't care. Like, if it does, it's not going to move the plot forward, I don't care. But like in Ireland, we just talk normally and we just say first year. second year. It's not like I'm a sophomore. You know, what does that mean? I'm in second. Yeah, just say second. Like, what? Why bother? It's like when people, you know, when you have a baby and it's like fucking 3 years old and you say it's 36 months or, you know, like, yeah. So it's three. It's three. Just say it's one and a bit. It's like, right. It's one and a half. Yeah, roughly. I just want a ballpark age. If I'm asking what age it is, just throw shit at the wall. Just tell me roughly what age it is. Okay, so did you remain active in different ways then after your ankle issues?
Yeah, they basically told me that I could play non-weight bearing sports. So I switched to water polo.
Oh, okay. That's the sport where all the horses drown, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, you ride horses in the water.
Yeah. Great swimmers. Okay, explain water polo to me then, because I kind of have a there's like small little. Are the nets on the edge of the pool or are they hanging?
They're on the edges of the pool.
Okay, yeah. And they're like mini like soccer goals, kind of, aren't they? They're like little.
Yeah,
little...
mini soccer goals, or like the best way I would describe it is like a hockey net.
Oh, are they that big?
Yeah, they're probably bigger than a hockey, like ice hockey.
Jeez, I thought like, do you guys measure paper like A4 or A5?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like two sheets of paper, like stuck together, like that size.
Oh, you know, gosh.
Like two normal sheets. All right, okay, it's quite big. What size is the ball? Is the ball like one-handed or do you need two hands?
You can only touch it with one hand.
Oh, shit, okay. The plot thickens.
You can't have two hands on the ball at the same time.
Okay. Why is that? Oh, because you drown. No. Why is there? Is there a rule? Why is that rule there?
Well, I don't know if I can give you the history of the sport enough to know why the rule is. I would guess that it's like if you put two hands on the ball, it's easier to like you could. You're also not allowed to like put the ball underwater and hold on. You could like keep yourself afloat basically if you like lay on the ball or sit on the ball.
Oh, okay.
But. And it's just, you know, big advantage. Also, it makes it easier to hold on to, you know, like a basketball, right? I have like a basketball in my hand and you've seen like two guys fighting for a basketball, like becomes a wrestling match in the water. That's like not going to go well. So.
And is there contact or can you block? Oh, you can actually hit each other, like push each other and shit.
Oh yeah. Okay. So the way that I explain water polo to people is it's the most similar to ice hockey. So if you watch ice hockey, it's like,
so do people throw off their goggles and start throwing slaps?
Basically, except, everything is legal unless the ref catches you and the ref can't be underwater. So,
okay. So the only way you give the game away is if the ref spots like blood floating and he can trace it back. Okay.
Learn tricks to try and tell the ref that, you know, you're being fouled or somebody's yanking on you and stuff. But like in college, when I got to college, I played for a year at Michigan, and those girls are so good. They've got their hands above the water. They're showing the ref, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. The girl in front of them is drowning because they've got their legs wrapped around her.
It's like, I'm not doing anything. She's dead. It's like floating.
Yeah.
You should keep like one really long toenail.
Right. Oh no, you get your nails checked before the game starts.
What? Oh my god.
Yeah, the refs go around and they like check your nails and make sure that they're not sharp or too long. And
that's immediately where my brain went. I was like, big toe, just keep a little triangle on it.
Oh yeah. No, you still come out with like claw marks all over you. My assistant coach used to carry around a backpack full of extra swimsuits so that when we got ours torn apart, we just put on a new one.
Fuck, it was that aggressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez. if you said about dropping the ball. So if the ball hits the water, is it a free for all? Like you just like whoever gets there first gets it basically. Or is there if you're on team A and I'm on team B and I accidentally let the ball drop, do I have to like move back and let you guys have it, or can I still pick it up again?
No. The ball can be on the water whenever.
Oh, okay.
It can be on the water. You'll swim with the ball. You kind of like push it in front of you as you swim, like the water.
Not very far if there's people like pulling you underwater. And how many is on a team? Five on a team, is it?
Seven aside.
And do you play across the pool, like, or the length? Like, is it? Side to side, not end to end.
It's, oh gosh, now I'm not going to remember. I've been out of water polo for like 15 years, but it's, lengthwise you wouldn't play. Yeah. You wouldn't play the shortest.
You don't play like the whole, oh, you do play the whole pool.
Oh yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you do have significant amount of room to swim then, I guess.
You get ready. Yeah.
And is there, this is the second time I've done this. Someone else told me about another sport and I got way too deep. I think it was field hockey. I got way too deep. Fuck it, I'm going anyway. Is there any rules with, like, do you have to pass it a certain amount of times? Do you have to, is there only a certain person that's allowed to score? Like, you know, is there only like can anyone score? Can you throw it from anywhere? Do you have to be a certain distance away or pass a certain distance before you shoot?
Yeah, there's rules. There's a shot clock. So like, as soon as you have the ball in the other end of the field, as soon as you take possession of the ball, you have a certain amount of time to put a shot on goal.
Oh, how long is the time? Like seconds or like minutes?
No, I think it's like 30 seconds-ish.
Oh, something frantic.
Like it might be in the like the mid-20s.
It must be so hard to ref. Is the ref in the water as well, though?
No, the refs are up on deck.
I was thinking, it must be so, because like even just the splashes and shit, like you wouldn't be able to see anything anywhere. It'd just be water all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. They, when I got to college, one of the like points of learning was, that the refs have less sympathy for you. And so if you're kind of like, you'll kind of like jerk or something to tell the ref that you're getting fouled, you know, to show it, like show him that somebody's yanking on you. And if you don't look like you're fighting hard enough to not drown, he won't give you the call.
Oh, so there's like a line. It's like, ah, she's okay.
Ah, toughen up, sis. You're just like, stop being a baby.
Christ. Yeah. Okay, so water polo.
Yeah.
In college, up as far as what age?
My first year, freshman year, first year of college.
Good job. And then, what was next? What was next after that then?
I was just a recreational athlete after that. I'd thrown my shoulder out
in the pool.
I was athletic enough to keep up in a D1 water polo team. But I didn't have the years of experience. I'd only played for like 3 years in high school. So, I didn't have the experience to not get hurt. So I threw my shoulder out real fast.
You're like being pulled underwater, your shoulder's being dislocated, and the ref is like, I don't think you're cut out for this.
Yeah. I'm also really small for a water polo player. Once you get to like D1 collegiate level, everyone...
Are they all like swimmers that didn't make it kind of thing?
Not necessarily. Like, you have some pretty good swimmers for sure. Yeah. But they're just like... bigger humans. Like, if you think, so like hockey, right? Like, back to hockey, you put your biggest, meanest player in the middle and they sit in front of the net, and then the biggest, meanest defender sits with them, and they basically fight for position in front of the net, and then everyone else rings around them, and you're trying to either shoot from the outside or you're trying to put the ball into the center so that they have a better shot. And so like there's a couple players that are like really, really big humans. Like, the more mass you have, the easier it is to move people around in the water and like take up space. You want to be really tall, right? So it's, you know, like limb length and is an advantage with swimming, with throwing, all that stuff.
And when you say recreational athlete, then are you like just going for a jog, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I was like, you know, at the rec center, but I had like played all the sports, you know. I liked the played
just like tick 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 tick. I've done like everything.
Football. I played like inner tube water polo, and I don't know, all the things I could play, I jumped into. I still liked being active and everything. I just thought my career as an athlete was done.
What were you studying in college?
I studied political science with an emphasis on international economics and development.
Right. So like working for the UN. That was the goal.
Yeah. UN Peace Corps.
Yeah. You
know, something like that. I was interested in that.
And when did CrossFit pop up then?
When I got home from college, I was you know, kicking around, trying to find a way to stay active and fit, you know, like I don't sit still well. So I needed that outlet, but just found myself really, really bored in regular gyms. And there wasn't enough like sport environment for adults after college, you know. The only things I really knew how to play, like I couldn't play soccer or water polo anymore. So I needed just like something. And I walked into a regular gym, like a big gym that had a CrossFit box inside of it. And I walked by it and I was like, oh, that looks really cool. But, you know, I for sure can't do that. I'm not an athlete anymore. I've had too many injuries. Like, that's just not, I don't want to be hurt anymore, you know. Yeah. But it looked cool for me just because they were doing cool movements, but also because it looked like the sport environment that I was used to, rather than just like walking into a regular gym and everyone's doing their own things and they're on their like, you know, headphones and everybody's like weirdly staring at you, but not looking at you at the same time. And it's like, it's just like, I found it a really socially awkward world to be in.
Yeah. And I think like, pretty much everyone finds it a socially awkward.
Yeah. World. Yeah. You know, and I'm used to team sports where there's like camaraderie and support for each other and the energy and, you know, like you're all kind of doing something together. And like, I walked and, you know, I was like staring in the window at this CrossFit gym and I was like, oh, I know that. Like, I know what that is. I know who those people are. Those are my people, you know?
Yeah. You're like standing like face pressed. Like,
I was. I pretty much.
Can I come in?
I told her the coach caught me staring and came out and dragged me in, basically.
Can you remember your first class?
I don't remember exactly what the workout was, but I know that I loved it and I was sore for 3 days. I didn't move for 3 days.
Do you ever get like that now? Like, do you ever take like a week, or are you ever like sick or something, can't train for a few days, go back? Because I saw Travis Mayer put up a video, I don't know if you saw it, on a story about like a couple of hours ago, where he obviously broke or did something to his hand or his wrist, so he hasn't been able to train. And he was like, did CrossFit for the first time in a few weeks, and it was like lunges, double unders and wall balls, and like his legs were like visibly like just shaking. He was like, I can't stop them shaking.
yeah
have you ever had any of that, like where you've had a forced break and then just like your body's like, what the fuck?
Yeah several times for several reasons.
It's mad, you kind of think that people get to a certain level and it just doesn't happen. Like, I have it if I don't train for 2 or 3 days and then I do something, I have it like, oh, my legs, like if I do lunges or something. Yeah.
Yep.
But like, I guess I always assume like you get to a certain line, you pass that line, and then that just doesn't happen to you anymore. You have such a huge extreme that it just doesn't happen. Like,
yeah, no, it's all at a different level. Like even, even post quarterfinals, like I took a week to just like train however I want. It wasn't like I wasn't training. I didn't take like a full week off, but I took several days off. And then I just kind of did what I wanted to do, jumped into class workouts, did some extra accessory work, but like it was pretty light week. And we came back this week to start semifinals training, and like everyone in the chat rooms on the Misfit channels are like, I feel like I got hit by a truck. I mean, your threshold is like 4 to 6 hours of training a day, and then you like take a light week, it's like your body's, it's like nothing. You come back to another 5 hours of training and you're like, oh God.
That seems to be the most common story I've seen on people's Instagrams who have qualified for semifinals, is like that day one picture of like, oh shit. Like, where it's like, is this really what I wanted? Maybe I didn't want this as bad as I thought. I'd say it probably gives a bit of comfort to the people who are like finished in 70th place in quarterfinals, who are like, maybe it's a good thing I didn't get in, like that I don't actually have to go.
I think it's a comfort to my members too. Like, I've definitely, like, you know, I'm a coach, so I walk in and my members always think I'm really unrelatable, that, you know, I can't, you know, I don't know what it's like to be sore. They're like, you don't know what this is like. You don't know, you know, what it's like to take a week off and then like have to come back.
No, yeah, what is it?
In my life.
What is it? Glassman said it varies by degree, not by kind. So exactly. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's just it takes more to make me feel the way you feel, but I still feel the way you feel. Right. I want to talk to you about last year. because there's a few athletes where it feels like things happen that are like pivotal in their careers that like probably at the time don't feel like that. So I'm thinking like the immediate person that springs to mind is Nick Matthew. So he obviously was in a very similar position that you were in twice. So he missed Colton Pipton like 2 years ago, and then Colton Pipton last year. I mean, what are the odds of being the same person? That must be such a kick in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And he missed that again, and then he got called up because I can't remember why. Someone dropped out. Someone popped or dropped out or something. Yeah. What do you call him? Phil Toon got popped. So he stepped in. And then he, like, hero at the games. Like, wins, like, comes first in two workouts, gets rookie of the year. Like, it's just amazing. And then I was like, I remember both years when he missed out, being like, I feel so bad for him. Like, it's so, like, I like Colton. I was delighted for Colton. But I was just like, God, that poor guy. Like, what are the chances that 2 years in a row you miss it? It must be awful. And then I saw you missing out by 1 point.
Yep.
That was at Mac. Mm-hmm. No, Syndicate? Yep. Mac.
The Mac.
Like, what happens after that? Are you like, oh, this is amazing. I finally got this fuel now. And this is, oh, next year I'm going to fucking dominate. Or are you like, I'm finished. Like, you can't come that close and come back from it. So I'm done. Or were you like mixture of both? Were you like ebbing and flowing between like, this is great now, I've got this impetus. And then the games are on and you're like, fuck this, I missed out by a point. And then it's over. And you're like, yeah, let's go.
I am not a person to get defeated. I mean, I've played sports long enough that I've been defeated a lot. If I gave up when I got defeated, that would be I wouldn't have had the career that I've had. So it's you know, like that you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Like, it was devastating. I definitely spent, you know, a couple days doing a lot of crying and you know, and then like feeling the emotions that come with that kind of loss. But no, I mean, it was also like, as soon as I got over like the initial hurt of like not having made it, it was also very instantly like crazy proud of myself and, you know, huge sense of accomplishment. I mean, it was shocking for me to even be in that position. Like, I shocked the hell out of myself coming as close as I did. And I think that, like looking back on it now, like I almost don't remember the pain of it. I only see it as like a wildly successful year. Yeah. You know, that pain doesn't last very long, but it definitely is fueling. It definitely is like, like I'm that person where if you, the way to get me to do something is to tell me you don't think I can do it. Okay. So like,
I don't think you can qualify for the games this year. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Do you like, was there part of you say when you, cause there is a, like an element of like the one that got away or like the almost, mm-hmm. So like when you're, did you watch the games last year or did you like just avoid it?
I watched it. I was actually there. I was,
oh my God, it's even worse. Yeah.
That was hard actually.
Yeah. It's just the fuck. That's like watching your ex get married, like to the person they cheated on you with.
Yeah.
Did you watch, like, you didn't watch like the individual, like you didn't watch the heats and stuff, did you?
No, I was actually working most of the game, so that did help. It was better that I was like kept busy. So I watched what I could, but mostly I watched it. We'd like finish working for the day and then I'd watch all of the live streams back in the hotel room at night.
And is there, it was there any part of you, you can admit this if you like, Was there any part of you that was watching? Because obviously Rebecca Fusile, she was 1 point ahead and she qualified. Was there any part of you watching it being like, oh, if I was there now, I would have done such and such thing, or like, oh, I would have gone unbroken on that one. What are you doing, Becky?
I mean, yeah, you're always watching to see, like, I always look at games workouts and see like what I think I could do and how I think I could stack up, you know, like you're, it's a good way to sort of evaluate where you're at against the competition. And I think that like, it's really interesting to me how much the sport's grown, because yeah, sure. Like I looked at like some of those heavy weights that, you know, Rebecca struggled with and, you know, yeah, I let me at that heavy barbell, you know, like I can do that. That heavy yoke, that's no big deal. And then I looked at crossover dumbbell unders and wall facing handstand pushups and pressing handstands, and I was like, you know, yeah. Like really,
you were quiet during those workouts and loud. You were like, oh, bitch, I want to clean. And then you're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, like it was so impressive how, you know, like I think she had like a fourth place finish on one of the gymnastics workouts. Like, so she's like really able to hammer home, and she, and like especially workouts like that where none of the athletes were prepared for those movements and she was able to adapt, and you know, like I thought that was really impressive performance. So like, yeah, I mean, I'm a different athlete. There are things that I would have excelled on, and then there are things that I would not have excelled on that she definitely did. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
Can you remember a time after that first class and before, say, your narrow miss last year, can you remember a time where you were like, oh shit, I actually have a career in this, and I can, like, can you remember, was there a moment or a competition or an event or a workout or something that made you think like, yeah, okay, I can go like to the games, like either on a team or individual, but like I am an actual athlete and I can actually compete properly in this?
I think the year that we really put our first like really serious team together, the year we, I mean, we'd had really good teams before, like regional teams, but in 2019, we really like went all in on, you know, like we're putting this team together to qualify for the games. Like that is the goal for every one of us. We're, you know, putting everything we got into this. And that was, we took second place in Brazil. So not, see, you know, I'm just used to being one spot out. So that was actually pretty devastating, but that was kind of the year where it was like, oh, if I put everything into this, this goal is within reach.
I love how quickly you changed there from like manic laughter to that was actually pretty devastating. It's like, ha, 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 and my heart was broken. Ha, ha, ha. Like, just laugh through the pain.
Right.
Is it easier or harder, or like, was it easier or was it more difficult 2022 versus 2019? Like when you're part of a group and you miss out, is there like company in the misery of it, or is it easier when it's just you and you can just deal with it in your own way, and like you've only, you know, you've only yourself to thank and you've only yourself to blame? Whereas if there's four of you, is it easier to be like, oh, if that dickhead had just gone unbroken on that like set of whatever, like, or if other people are not as upset as you want them to be, or if other people are more upset than you feel they should be, is it easier just to do it on your own, or is it easier to have the company of the group and go through that together?
I think it's easier to have the company of the group personally. That's one of the benefits of being on a team, and that was one of the big adjustments to going individual, that, you know, in terms of mindset, I had to work my way around. You're definitely held accountable for your teammates, you know, like that's, you never want to let your teammates down. You'll, you know, I'll put myself into the ground for my teammates. Like that's, that's something that, I just don't think I can manufacture in any other way. When your teammates are there fighting with you, you know, like that's a different feeling. It's a different level of motivation. You know, and everybody's hurting and everybody, you know, like, you know, they're still fighting, so I'm still fighting, even though I feel like I'm dying, you know.
Have you brought that with you into individual? Like, have you noticed that you've managed to carry a bit of it over, if not all of it?
Yeah, but so like, I think the thing that I felt as an individual was that there's still that same sense of like, you're accountable to your team, my coach, you know, my husband, who is my manager, my PT travels with me, who's the gym owner here. Like, I have, you know, I had a group of supporters that traveled to semifinals with me. Like, there, I have people on my team that, like, I am very conscious that I'm trying not to let them down. And they believe in me and they've invested a lot into me. And, so there's an accountability there, but at the end of the day, I'm the only one on the floor. So it's not like you succeed or fail together. I succeed or fail, you know, like it's, you know, and, but I still have that team, you know? So like, it's very much more acute of like, I let my team down, you know, I was the only one there. I was the only one that had control on the floor. And so like, that's all on me.
When you're on the floor then, last year, does that like, does that make it worse than like when you hear Rebecca's name called out, does your head immediately go to like your husband, your coach, that kind of stuff, or does that come later? Is that like as you're walking off the floor, it kind of washes over you, like that feeling of letting, because it's like, it's funny because you say that and you say that the, you know, that you're letting people down, like me hearing that is irrational. Like, I understand how you feel that way.
I know.
And like, and I'm sure afterwards, I'm sure when you're talked to about it, you agree that it is irrational, but like, it's obviously something that you use and it's something that works for you. But like, I'm curious, like, how long does it take for that to kick in when you hear something like that? How long does it take for your brain to go there?
So my first thought was, always, I think you know, again, I've been in sports for so long, and in soccer especially, there's like a, it's like beaten into you. You know, the first thing you do when you finish the game is congratulate the other team. You like, you shake hands, and it's like, you know, there's a sportsmanship thing there. So my first thought, you know, hearing Rebecca's name called and knowing that mine wasn't going to be, was just to make sure that I congratulated her on, you know, a well-fought competition and, you know, good game. Well done. You know?
Yeah. Is that like holding back a wall of tears doing that? Are you like putting on a brave face, kind of giving her a hug, and inside you're like crippled?
I mean, to some extent, but like also like there's a genuine appreciation for competition, you know, like that's, you know, it's not like a, I wouldn't say that it's a false, you know, like,
yeah,
good job, but you suck, you know?
Good job. You know? Hope you get injured.
Right. That's not really what it feels like. You know, like, I honestly, like, if I was not going to qualify for the games, like, there's no other way that I would want to not qualify.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, like, I was as close as you can possibly get. Like, and it was a really hard fought competition. Like, all the way through, we were just fighting for every point. And that's exciting and it's fulfilling and it's, you know, energizing. Like there's an adrenaline and a drama in that. That's like, that's what you want out of sport. Like that's, you know, I don't know. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it fun. And you either, you know, you come up on top or you don't, but like, you wouldn't want to play the game if it was easy. So it really is like a genuine appreciation for a really good competitor. And so like, that's important to me, is to make sure that I acknowledge that. And so that was sort of my first thought. And then afterwards it kind of, you know, like I gave her a hug and, you know, congratulated her. And then like, you know, you kind of, then it starts sinking in, you know, like you're standing around, like you've congratulated everyone that's qualified, and you know, there's kind of like nothing else to do with yourself now, but like you're standing on the floor, you can't go anywhere, but it's starting to sink in that, you know,
you're done, the competition's over, you start like having that adrenaline crashing kind of feeling. And that's why I walked straight to my husband and cried on his shoulder a little bit. Yeah. Till he told me to stand back up and go do my job.
It's funny though, as well. I've spoken to two people. I mentioned Steve Fossett earlier on. I spoke to him and came up organically. And then James Jousey is, he's Sam Briggs' coach and Emma McQuaid's coach. I was talking to him the other day and he actually brought it up and I was like, shit, that's so weird. Like Steve Fossett said that to me 4 hours ago. Okay. That he would, they both kind of said that there comes a point in every athlete's career, hopefully, where the athlete kind of realizes that literally nobody gives a fuck, apart from them and like the three or maybe four people that are directly around them. And like, if you lose, so say like in your position last year, like it sounds incredibly harsh, but it's like they were both saying how liberating it is that like the next day nobody knows who you are anymore, right? And nobody's like, you know, concerned. Or like Steve was saying, like, oh, it's great, like it's nice to have the adulation of like, oh, congrats on qualifying for semifinals. But he was like, I mean, if I finish last, they're not going to message me saying, oh, boo, you're shit, like, right? And like, you know, he's like, they don't care. Like, it's just there's these moments that pass, and then once they pass, it's like, you know, you're just totally forgotten about. Like James is like, you know, your today's news and your tomorrow's like takeaway chip paper. Like, you know, it's just, you're irrelevant again.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny hearing you talk about the three or four people that matter more than anything are the ones that like, you know, they prop you up all year, but then you feel like you're letting them down then, or, you know, like you're bringing them along. Yeah. It's funny. This year then, was there any part of you that was like sluggish or like reluctant or, you know, like slow to get going, or was it the opposite? Were you being like held back, you know, where people saying like, oh, you need to take it easy, like, you know, it's a long season, you know, like, was there any party that was like, oh, I'm gonna work 10 times as hard as last year, like just to make up that extra point?
I mean I messaged my coach. I was not sure I was gonna do another season at first. My husband and I had agreed that last season was my last season. So there were a lot of conversations that we had to have that was just like,
how fucking bad there was. Yeah.
Okay. But it was one point, you know?
Yeah.
It was, a lot of conversations. Sorry. I just lost my dog. A lot of conversations about, like, can we sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed? to make sure that, like, another season happens and not, you know, like, if the goal is to go to the games, then that's not something you take lightly.
Hmm.
It's something that's a really big team effort. It's not just me. My husband has to make sure that he's on board and the, we decided we were ready to do it, and he got on board. I got on board. There were definitely like, it was a slow process. It was like, we weren't sure that I was going to have a season.
Yeah.
Probably all the way up to the Open, to be honest.
Wow.
And that was for a different reason. I had a shoulder issue that popped up towards before semifinals last year, and we thought it was a minor shoulder issue. We thought it was just some tendinosis and okay, you know, I'll rehab it in the off season and it's going to be fine. And we didn't realize, I'd passed all the tests for structural damage. No, I saw multiple people and nobody thought that it was more serious than tendinosis. And then eventually, like, the rehab wasn't working. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. And then we finally like went in and looked at it a little deeper and, oh, you have a tear.
Oh shit.
And so, and it seems like I've been actually walking around with a tear for
a while, probably close to 2 years.
Water polo. It's from water polo.
I mean, yeah, they warned me when they said, like, okay, we need to do some imaging. They were like, okay, look, you played water polo. Like, we're probably going to find stuff in there. Like,
we're going to find someone's tooth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
I wanted to ask you, we'll wrap up, right, just in case it happens again. But I wanted to ask you, so last year you missed out by a point, and this year obviously the system has changed a bit. You got these two semifinals. I was looking at the list of semifinalists in your area, and there's like 12 games athletes in your semifinal, and then some others that are like, you know, more or less. Like, you know, Olivia Kerstetter, like my, you know, like she's a games champion, just in a different division, I guess. When you see the semifinal, when you see the list, when you see everything, are you like, you know, fueled by it? Are you humbled by it? Are you like, is there a part of you that needs that, like that needs that kind of underdog kind of vibe? You know, you said that, tell me I can't do it, I'll try harder, is one of your things. Or is there a part of you that's like, oh fuck, why can't they just leave it sit like the way it was for another year, and just then when I finish, then bring in whatever they want to bring in?
Yeah, I guess I'm not thinking a lot about who else is there. I think that last year I proved to myself that I can hang, and that's really motivating. So regardless of who's there, I have a lot of self-confidence now that I didn't have even last year, that I can hang with whoever I need to hang with, you know, and I'm capable of qualifying. So that's, it doesn't really matter who's there, it's the same fight regardless. The only thing I can control is whether or not I'm a better athlete this year than I was last year. And so that's really what I'm focused on. And I'm used to CrossFit changing the game. That's happened like most years. So, you know, I kind of feel like sometimes that's an advantage for me because I'm really good at rolling with the punches. I kind of just like, you know, okay, here's the new game. Still going to play it. I'm going to try and play it better than anyone else does. So, you know, that's still doing the same thing.
Is this your last year then?
This will be my last year competing in the open division.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that I could, you know, honestly say that I'll never compete again. That's probably not ever going to happen. You know, like I want to be a fit mom and be a fit grandma. And so hopefully I'll compete in the masters divisions. Maybe you'll see me on a team again. I won't rule anything out. But as far as the open division goes, this will be the last year. And you know, you know, priorities will shift. They're, you know, gonna have a family. You know, I have things that I want to do with my career, and so it won't be training over everything.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you for coming on. Thanks for being so patient with your service and stuff.
Thank you for being patient.
No, I've had worse. Don't worry. But I appreciate you coming on. Best of luck. Congrats on everything you've achieved so far, and best of luck. With your semi-final, it's like, you know, I mentioned the names, but it's funny, like you look at, it's just so hard, like it's only 10 spots and it's so hard to pick, and like every second person you go down, you're like, oh well, they'll obviously, oh, but then, and then you go down two more, you're like, oh well, obviously both of them are go-. Like so it is, it's open season, really. It's up for grabs. So I really hope you get your chance. It'd be a great finish to this chapter, I guess, in your story. But good. Yeah, congrats and best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much. It was really great to talk to you.